Portions of this program are pre-recorded.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you here. Welcome to the program. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show. Lots going on today. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick from the great state of Texas to talk about the horrible, deplorable conditions that some illegal immigrants are living in San Antonio and around Texas. Also, some voting laws, plus campus reform and the Chocolate Voices back. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here on your Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Uh-huh. Say what?
Seems I got to have a change of scene. Every night I have.
Carrie, what's going on?
Stranger's dream.
How's it going?
You making it happen?
Yep.
I'll have to work on your camera during the break.
Left here on my own. Oh,
wow.
So it seems.
Welcome back. Nice note on Facebook.
I got to leave.
You got my message?
Yes, which I guess
I
works now because Facebook broke, actually.
I know.
Lock the door.
All right, let's do that. Let's go.
Took the key. Feeling all right.
Exactly right.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. Oh, come on. Give me some harmony. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Wow.
I'm not feeling too good myself. No.
Ooh. Too much singing today. That's what happened. Too much singing.
Maybe we should just stop.
No. Polo and Sam along for the ride, too. They look good. They can handle their cameras. I'm not sure what's up with yours.
Wow. Five minutes.
A little shot of you in the corner of the camera. Well, after that nasty note on Facebook, you deserve it.
But I was listening. Should be happy
about
that.
Maybe someone will tell you that I'm listening. So here's the way it went down, and this is kind of cool. I know we've got some sort of a shooting happening in Texas. I don't know what more we have. I listened to Brian do the news a little while ago, and I don't know what the details are. Maybe if you have updated details, we can get into that.
Okay.
And is it a story where you have a bunch of details, or you just know generally what happened?
Well, right now, generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we get an update. It's Brian, Texas, which I guess is an hour and a half north of Houston or something. And we definitely want to know what's happening there. There was word of a shooting someplace, and I don't know much else. And as soon as you get more information, you want to give me some. Or you want to give me what you have now.
Yeah, I can give you what I have right now.
This
is from CNN. Police in Bryan, Texas, are searching for a suspect after six people were injured during a shooting at an industrial park Thursday afternoon. According to Lieutenant Jason James of the Bryan Police Department, the victims were taken to a local hospital, but James cannot speak to the extent of their injuries. In a brief interview, he could not say whether all the victims had suffered gunshot wounds. The suspect in the shooting is at large. James says he did not share any details or information about the suspect. Police first received a call around 2:30 p.m. local time about a shooting at 350 Stone City Drive in Bryan. And the incident was over when officers arrived, and at least six ambulances soon arrived on the scene for the victims. Investigators are trying to piece together what happened, and authorities are interviewing witnesses.
All right, so that's it.
Not
that's what we know
lot.
So far.
Yeah.
So as we get more information, we'll certainly get you an update on that. So I just wanted to make sure that we took care of that serious business before we get going. Dan Patrick will be on the program today, so make sure you stick around for him. He is the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas and also going to have campus reform on today. So I appreciate you stopping by. So here's how this went down. You know, I've been doing like one parody a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that on Saturdays. Saturday I do The Weekend with Joe Pags, which is noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. So I do that, and afterwards I do J-Pot, which is Joe Pags Overtime, where I give web-exclusive content to those who choose to watch and listen to the program on Twitch. It's a streaming service, generally speaking for gamers, but I put my shows on there too. We've got quite a following there now, 1.72 million views and a bunch of subscribers and a bunch of followers and so on. So I do one a week on Saturday. And I do it, I live produce it for those who are watching that extra time, basically, on Saturday. I had no intention of doing another one. But then I started getting emails yesterday from people saying, Linda, who is Sean Hannity's executive producer, was trying to get Sean to sing a new version of New York, New York today. And I said, well, that'd be new. She said to him, I want you to do a parody. And I'm like, that's interesting. I don't get to hear Sean as often. I'm getting ready for my show because he's on right before I am. But Sean and I have been friends a long time. So I reached out to Linda and I said, Linda, I don't know. I'm hearing from people who are saying that you were trying to get Sean to do a New York parody. And she wrote back, she said, yeah, fat chance. He's not going to sing, blah, blah. I said, well, listen, I do these parodies. And I attached a few to my email and I said, if you want me to knock out a New York parody, I'll do one today. Or I'll do one tomorrow. And this was last night. So she didn't respond last night. And I was like, that's cool. She didn't like the parodies. That's not interested. Not a problem. She writes today. She says, if you feel like doing one, you know, and if it's any good, we'll have you on and we'll talk about it. So I didn't think they were actually going to play the parody on the air. I thought they were going to have me on to talk about how I did one and Sean wouldn't do one. We'd have just sort of a happy-go-lucky, you know, slap-ass session on the Sean Hannity show today. So I'm eating my lunch, right? Mm-hmm. And I get a call and it's Linda. All right, you ready to go on? I said, I had a mouthful of meatballs. I'm like, I guess, what are we doing? I'm playing your parody right now and then we'll put you on with Sean and you guys talk about it. So, okay, so we did that, and a lot of people heard it. Now, Carrie, instead of being the supportive friend and coworker who had the best show ever on Tuesday, so much so she took a day off, instead of writing, wow, that was great, she wrote, let me just make sure I have this. Start greasing your head now to get it through the door at 8 p.m.
Like, explain to the people
why you have to be so hateful about stuff.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, we're never going to hear the end of this. Because they were so, and they were, they're very complimentary and they loved your voice and it's so great. I thought, oh boy, we're going to deal with this for 3 hours afterwards. So
finally, people telling the truth about my singing skills. Finally, people who appreciate raw talent when you bring it to the table instead of brochure, instead of, oh, you're stupid. I don't like the song. I never heard of that song before. I didn't recognize it. You smell, you're Italian. Whatever. I mean, you guys are always so denigrative of who I am.
Yes,
Paul. Paul is putting the headphones in. He can't wait to jump in on this. Here we go.
So this was today?
Sir. You can kiss my ass. Seriously, I sent you guys the notice to listen today. You didn't listen today?
No.
Paul, I literally sent you guys a note like an hour beforehand.
And you said okay, on right?
I don't know why I was thinking it was tomorrow.
The message literally said Hannity today at 4:30 our time.
Yeah, but today could mean tomorrow. So
okay. Now I know Sam heard it because she sent me an expletive about how good she thought it went. Right, Sam? I mean, immediately with the expletive.
I don't swear, but yes, it was.
Oh, okay. All right, Sam. I am your dad. I'm pretty sure I know whether you swear or not. So, actually, I don't know. Sam does a show every night with her boyfriend after my show on Twitch. And how you do that program for an hour, 2 hours a night without cursing is stunning to me because you are a potty mouth. I have never cursed like you curse.
That's the real talent here, okay?
that's the real talent. So, Carrie, you heard it. And try to not worry about my ego. I mean, it was pretty good. Not a bad little deal, right?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
Sean was very nice.
Start greasing.
I thought you were taking the rest of the week off. Wasn't Tuesday your Friday?
No.
We checked the overnight ratings.
Today
we
and
really
tomorrow.
Threw the roof last
oh,
night.
Oh, yeah,
the roof.
I bet. Ratings were so great yesterday.
You're like, damn.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I believe that. Show me.
What it
show
is?
Me.
Blah, blah, blah.
Show me.
All right. So the song was New York, New York. And I guess Sean was is convinced, and he's right, that the government of the state and city of New York suck. And they've done so badly that basically it's not the city that never sleeps anymore. It's the city that's dead. And I threw a little something together, and we actually launched it. We premiered it on Sean's show. That's the Sean Hannity show. You've heard of the show, right, Carrie?
I have, yeah.
Nationally syndicated. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 400 or 500 radio stations. And people immediately were writing me notes. Dude, I mean, Hannity played your parody. I'm like, I'm on there afterwards. I'm like talking to
yes,
him.
Yes, I know.
Me. I was aware. I actually did it because it was an idea. But it was very, very nice of Sean to do that. Very, very nice of Linda to say, okay, you know, give it a shot. What do we have to lose, basically? She could have listened to it and said, nice try. But instead, it turned out to be comedy gold. What? Oh, you didn't know I was going to play it right now?
Now I knew you were.
Pag's parody, New York. Maybe New York, New York. Definitely New York. As heard on the Sean Hannity show today. Let's go. start spreading the news. A normal start, right? I'm leaving today. All good, just gonna sing the song. Don't want to be a part of it. New York, New York. Cuomo's abuse. Come on. COVID's here to stay. Right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. Don't want to wake up in a city run by that creep. Run by the creep, you see. I'll soon go over the hill. Leave this trash heap. Come on now. De Blasio blows. That's right to the point, I think. Upwards that crime goes. Bad guys run every part of it. Like old New York. I'll get right out of there. Take my family anywhere in my rear view. New York, New York. Come on, Carrie, we're rocking it, right? Come on. Nothing? What do you got for me? No? Let's go. New York, New York. Don't want to wake up in a city that's 6 feet deep. It's dead. Dead like a doornail. And find I might be carjacked. Central Park attacked. Taxes, I'm pleased. They don't like police. Come on. Man, are they on crack? Had to do the crack line, right? Bring the apple back. You're welcome. I gotta hit that busy throughway. Out of New York. That's how we do it, Carrie. Wow. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Sean asked you to do a parody, you just knocked one out for him.
But did actually, Sean ask you?
Actually, no. No. No.
You offered it up? No. Okay. Okay.
Well, what happened was, again, it was not me at begging, please, please, Sean, please. Please,
please do, play my parody.
Give me a bowl of soup. No, it wasn't me begging. It was as people got a hold of me. They were talking about parodies. I'm the parody guy. Mm-hmm. So it turned out great. I'm really glad that Linda reached out. I'm glad, or actually she responded to me. And I'm glad that that Sean was hip to doing it today. It was very, very fun to hear it on his show today. And it's just always great to talk with the guy. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is your Thursday. Chocolate Voice is back. Sam, do we have a number of those mugs that we sold? The double wrap it? I think she's taking calls right now.
I bought one yesterday.
40 or 50 yesterday.
Yep.
No, I saw your name pop up. I saw that. I was like, I think you bought the first one.
Oh, I did? Okay.
I'm pretty sure you bought the first one.
Yeah, that's my dog on there. Yeah, I gotta
absolutely
buy that.
So for those who don't know, double wrapped that puppy, turned into a mug after the hijinks on Tuesday. And the puppy is Otto, We are all trying to figure out Otto's name yesterday. I was like, I don't know.
Who says it's German?
Like Schultz.
I'm like, it is Otto.
Schlitterbahn. I don't know. What is the German name? Then he said Otto. I said, is Otto even a German name? And I guess people were like, of course it's a German name.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So I don't know how they found it out, but they found it out somewhere. What was it? Was it over on her Facebook? Is that where you guys found it?
Yes.
Because you're always like, oh, look at Otto, blah, blah, blah. But he looks pretty cute wrapped up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we double wrapped him for the mug. So people can go and get that, joepags.com/store. joepags.com/store. Sam, are you still screening or are you available? No, she's still talking to somebody. People yapping, blah, blah, doo, blah, doo. Here, let's show Carrie off in the corner. Look at that. I have no idea
what
why.
What is the matter?
This
What's
is the
on?
Shot. I have no idea. Oh. It's just you off of the corner. I'll fix it during the break.
Well, just take me off the camera for today.
No, you're gonna be, no. The people watch the camera and they want to see you on the camera. Mm-hmm. So, Paula, what do you think about that parody? Should I play it again? It's already played twice nationally.
Sure.
Come on, dude. Carrie.
Yes. For heaven's sakes, you're going to play it anyway five more times at least. So
Sam would have said yes. She's screening calls. People are all calling in about the parody. There you go. 888-941-PAGS. Go ahead.
I mean, you sounded good and everything, but I don't know. I thought it would have been funnier.
You have to start them light. You don't want to be overly funny.
Right. I get
it's
that.
Like, it's not really musical. It's not, I mean, they specifically wanted that song. We want a new New York, New York theme.
Right.
And Sean was like, I'm not singing it. And I'm like, I don't give a crap. I'll sing it.
Yeah, and I figured.
And here you go.
It was a lot more, you could tell that you were doing more for the big show. So, yeah.
No, I was not doing more for the big show. Shut up. It is not what happened. I wanted to make sure the singing was good enough that I'd be asked back. But it wasn't really about the funny as much, although I had a couple of lines in there because he said it was dead, 6 feet under. I talked about leaving it in the rear view. I talked about how you're on crack
blows.
And about how de Blasio's a creep and he blows and everything else. So, I mean, it did enough funny for them to go, oh, that's pretty good. But it wasn't like, okay, what's he trying to do here?
Yeah.
Plus, I always have the fear that people can't understand the words that I'm saying.
Yeah, and I have to admit, there were several times I kept waiting for you to bleep yourself. And it never happened, so maybe that's what it was. I kept waiting for like that moment, and I thought, I was like, he's probably not going to do that.
That would have been it. That would have, it was like, I'm sorry, did he just bleep himself?
Yeah.
So maybe now that I've warmed them up a little bit, the next time there's an opportunity, I'll throw a bleep in there.
There you go.
Baby steps, man. It's baby steps.
I got you. 888.
941-PAGS, joepags.com. I did not do more for the big show, though. What a jerk. I did not. I bring it every day for this show. Anyway, let me tell you about some great steaks, some great food, some incredible burgers, some incredible chicken, some incredible sides and desserts. I'm talking about, of course, Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks gets it done all the time, but summertime is almost here. It's awfully hot in South Texas right now. That means it's grill time, backyard grill out time. The Let's Go Grill package is available today at omahasteaks.com, keyword PAGS in the search bar to save over 45%. Plus, you're going to get the tasty bonus of 12 ultra-juicy Omaha Steaks burgers free. That's almost 4 pounds of free burgers. To top it off, you also get $20 off your first order. The Let's Go Grill package includes 4 butcher-cut filet mignons, 4 boneless pork chops, a pound of chicken breast, 4 kielbasa sausages, and so much more. Here's to warmer days filled with fun family memories, epic backyard grill outs. Get this done right now. Go to omahasteaks.com, put in my name, PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar. Save a bunch of money and get those 12 free Omaha Steaks burgers. And on your first order, get $20 off. Omahasteaks.com, keyword PAGS, right now. See what kind of time we have even to take a phone call here. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. A lot of people, okay, quickly, Aaron Quickly in North Carolina. Not much time. Go ahead.
Hey. I loved it. It actually finally beat my favorite parody of yours was Call Me Crazy. This one finally beat it. So now this is my top one. It was great. Awesome. You couldn't do better.
Aaron, amazing. Thank you. She's the first person I've ever heard who thought Call Me Crazy was the favorite parody.
I don't remember.
Call Me Crazy is based on Call Me Crazy or Call Me Lately. What is it by what's her face? Call Me Something.
Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. There you go. It's based on that. And I didn't know that there was anybody who thought that was their favorite. So God
there
bless you.
Go.
But yeah, we did our best today. It was a lot of fun to be on with Sean. Linda is a hoot as well. So I'm glad that people like it. We'll play it again either next hour or the hour after that. Keep it here. Coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Glad to have you. For some reason, John over in the chat room says, Carrie's hair will always outdo yours. I don't think I was trying to outdo your hair, was I?
I don't think so.
I don't remember doing that. So,
you put in a ponytail
we see the hair?
Okay.
Looks great. We've got the camera is better than it was, but it's never going to be right in there. Okay. Just because we have to get you an iPhone 5 better than that.
I know.
An iPhone 3 would be better than that, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there you go. We've got that for you, which is nice. We have a PAGS parody today that Sean Hannity played, and I chatted with Sean for a bit. I played it this hour. We'll play it again later in the program. It's the new version of New York, New York. My favorite thing that Sean said today was he would love to see the faces on Cuomo and de Blasio as we played that song for them.
Mm.
That would have been classic. That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
so we've got that for you, which is nice. We also have campus reform, and we have Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the great state of Texas. It's becoming a massive crisis in San Antonio, Texas, at the Freeman Coliseum. Is it the Coliseum or the Auditorium?
It's Freeman Coliseum. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got a bunch of illegals there. Of course, the left calls them migrants. And the way Dan explains it to me, and you'll hear this conversation later, is that the county or the city, probably the county, had to give approval to rent the space to the federal government. They didn't even have to do that. And the allegations that are coming out of the Freeman are pretty disgusting. So we'll talk about that when we have him on next hour. Meantime, the president, Joe Biden, rolled out some very odd gun issues and orders today. And Carrie, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to outline these because mm-hmm. there's a term in here, ghost guns, that I'd never heard of in my life, yeah. And I'm a gun guy. So if you can, help me out here.
From Fox News, President Biden on Thursday announced a set of executive actions and legislative proposals on gun control, saying that gun violence is a public health crisis and the administration's actions do not contravene Second Amendment rights. The administration aims to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. And Biden said in his remarks in the Rose Garden, he was joined by Vice President Harris. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment, Biden said. These are phony arguments suggesting these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. Continuing, Biden said, but no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. From the very beginning, you could not own any weapon you wanted to own. From the very beginning, the Second Amendment existed. Certain people were not allowed to have weapons. So the idea is just bizarre to suggest some of these things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution. In attendance were several high-profile gun control activists, including Brady, United President Chris Brown, former Representative Gabby Giffords, and Fred Gutenberg. An administration official detailed the actions to reporters on Wednesday. Among them, Biden is asking the Justice Department to propose within a month a rule to stop ghost guns, which are kits people can buy legally to assemble a functioning firearm that does not have a serial number. And Biden's also asking the DOJ to propose within 60 days a rule on braces used for handguns, which make them more accurate, to propose action on community violence intervention, to publish suggestions for red flag legislation, and is asking his administration to issue a report on gun trafficking. Biden also formally announced David Chipman as the director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. A senior administration official Wednesday said Chipman will respect the Second Amendment while he enforces gun laws. I've seen with my own two eyes what a bullet can do to the human body, and I fought my entire career to fight this violence and to pass reasonable gun safety measures, Harris said as she introduced Biden. What are we waiting for? Because we aren't waiting for a tragedy. We've had more tragedy than we can bear, she said. The solutions exist. People on both sides of the aisle want action, real people, so all that is left is the will and the courage to act. And the Biden administration is also expected to throw its weight behind gun control proposals in Congress.
Okay, something that jumped out was, two things, ghost guns, okay, and also that constitutional rights are not absolute. I don't think that they were meant to be absolute, but they certainly, if you're going to do something that would, you know, add a restriction to a right protected by the document, it had better be really, really, really well explained. Like, you know, the whole fire in the theater thing or saying I've got a bomb or this is a hijacking on a plane. I mean, you don't really have the right to say that without any recourse. But it seems to me that the one right that the left is very, very cool, calm, and collected about attacking is the Second Amendment rights that we have. So let's break down a couple of things that he said. Red flag laws, blah, 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 and Joe Biden. They had red flag laws in Colorado, and they didn't work. The guy still got the guns, and he still went, and he shot up the supermarket, the grocery store in Boulder. This Syrian refugee who was a radicalized Muslim, that's the one part they don't want to talk about when that happened. But they want to talk about a brace that he had. Now, Kerry, I carry a gun. I've got several handguns. I've got an AR-15 rifle.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't shot anybody, and I hope they never do. But I'm certainly willing and ready to defend my family, my life, my stuff, my neighborhood from bad guys. And that's sort of what the Second Amendment does. It also says you can stop tyranny with a well-armed populace. I've never heard of this arm brace thing. And I guess this allegedly keeps your arm more steady, because the bad guy in Boulder didn't use an AR-15 or even a rifle at all. He used a pistol. So this guy, I guess, had some sort of a brace that steadied his arm. So looking at or banning the brace, I'm sorry, so what does that do? That means you could still bring a gun into a grocery store and shoot the place up. We just don't want you to be as accurate. Or maybe instead of going after a brace, which is probably plastic or Kevlar or metal, and not going after the weapon, the machine, we figure out who the bad guys are with bad intentions. You know, like when they give us all these signs that I'm a radicalized Muslim from Syria, when they give us all these signs that I want to be a school shooter in Parkland, when they give us all these signs like the Air Force says the guy at Sutherland Springs was not allowed to legally purchase a gun, yet somehow he legally purchased a gun because there was a loophole that it fell through. So the idea that we're adding more laws and more regulations doesn't make any sense. It literally is the opposite of making sense. The term nonsensical comes to mind.
He also said two more things. We should also ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country. There is no reason a person would need a weapon that can hold 100 rounds. We should also eliminate gun manufacturers from the immunity they receive from Congress, he said, referring to the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, a law that prevents gun makers from being sued for crimes committed with guns they sell legally.
So now we're going to go after the gun manufacturers. The gun manufacturers are in big trouble. If they sell an item, they're now on the hook. I wonder if the big three, GM and Ford and what's the other, Chrysler, I wonder if they're going to now face the same sort of lack of immunity. If I buy a car and then get drunk and run over somebody and kill them, is it now GM's fault? That would be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? That'd be stupid. Stupid! That's what that would be. But the gun manufacturer who made the gun, that manufacturer should now be liable if a bad guy legally buys a gun. Legally. The word legally is in line that Kerry just read. The gun manufacturer could be on the hook. That's ridiculous. And who is Joe Biden to tell me how many bullets I can have in my magazine? As the entirety of the Capitol is protected by National Guard, probably carrying AR-15s with 30-round magazines. Who is Joe Biden to tell me how many I can have? And a ghost gun, let's talk about that. It sounds like you can buy different parts, put them together, and make something that would be called a firearm, which should be perfectly legal. You just have different items, different things to put a machine together. Kerry, have you ever reported on a story where the person who allegedly did it was purported to have used something called a ghost gun?
I have not. I hadn't heard of that until today.
Yeah. I mean, there are people out there on the internet who will, for educational purposes only, teach you how to, with a 3D printer, make your own gun. I've never heard one used in any sort of crime, ever. Yet we have to go after that. So stop 100-round magazines. Stop assault weapons, whatever that, assault weapons, whatever that is. It's not even really a thing. We then also have to stop gun manufacturers from manufacturing guns, or else we'll sue them when their guns that were legally purchased are used to kill people. What the hell is he doing? What exactly is it that he thinks he can do here? And then he basically says, well, you know, the amendments aren't really in stone. I mean, come on. They're not really absolute. Really? So, I mean, is that really what we want? And I used this stat yesterday, and this is more specifically about police. You know how BLM and Antifa and many on the left want to disband and disarm and get rid of police? Police in 2014 had 990 deaths in contact with people they were arresting or had contact with. 990. It's a lot. The same year, 250,000 people died from medical procedure issues. Nobody is talking about getting rid of or disallowing doctors in our society. The idea that guns, Mark Lamb yesterday, the sheriff of Pinal County, said on this program, we had X number of people killed with rifles in the year 2019. We had 1,400 that were killed with knives. Nobody's talking, and it was a few hundred with the rifles. It was 1,400 with knives. Nobody's talking about banning knives. The reason why you want to disarm the population is to make sure only you have arms. And I don't mean arms, of course, firearms. You know, you've got Kamala Harris standing there, Joe Biden standing there. They are heavily protected by heavily armed guards at all times as they tell you why you don't deserve to have a gun. And we're just supposed to roll over and take it. Your thoughts, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here. Because we got Polo on the job and he's getting it done. And again, affiliates down the line, I think there might have been a strange, you know, commercial break that was tossed to you. Apologies for that. I think we're working on it. We'll get it straightened out in just a second here. We've got it working with the network and everything else. Love all of you guys. Love your patience. I appreciate you guys being engaged in what we're talking about. Especially these ghost guns. Carrie, the ghost guns seem to be grabbing people's attention. They all know about ghost guns.
Okay. Well, that's a first for me, but okay.
I mean, I'm a gun guy. I figured I would know what a ghost gun is, but it's almost like the left put the term ghost gun on it to make it sound, you know, ghoulish or evil.
And one of my,
but I don't know.
In one of my newscasts, I ran a Fox News package, and that reporter made it sound like a ghost gun was just a gun that didn't have a serial number. That was it.
No, I guess it's actually like a kit that you can buy.
Yeah. Like I said, I've never heard of it.
No, I'm saying who knew?
Yeah.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Want to hear from you. Let me go to the phone lines. It's going to be, actually, before I do that, let me make sure that we thank the great sponsor for this half hour. And the sponsor is very proud of sponsoring this half hour. We're just putting it out there. It's going to be Newsmax TV. Some polls say Joe Biden's job approval is 60% or more. Do you really agree with that? COVID lockdowns, more jobs lost, and a $2 trillion COVID package filled with wasteful spending. Now Newsmax TV is asking for your opinion. Do you approve of Joe Biden? And did President Trump do a better job? You can vote right now in the Newsmax poll. Text the word work, W-O-R-K, to 39747. That's work to 39747. Takes just a minute. Newsmax will share the poll results with top media, Congress, and the public. Let America know what you think about Biden and Trump and see the results on Newsmax TV, now on all major cable systems and free on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and platforms like Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Everybody's talking about Newsmax TV. Everybody. America's fastest growing cable news channel. Why not check it out right now and do yourself a favor and vote in this Newsmax TV poll. The poll is work. Text that word work to 39747. Work to 39747 right now. We go to the phone lines. I appreciate you being patient, taking the time. Going to be line four and Merrill. How do you say your name?
Merrill.
Merrill, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, I remember when Joe Biden was running for president, he was telling everybody that we don't need AR rifles or machine guns or whatever he calls them. And he said all you need is a shotgun, and you fire a shot in the air when you have danger in the area or something along the lines of that.
Yeah, I think he was the president when he said that.
The vice president.
I think Obama was in office, and Biden said, "Shoot a shotgun out the window or something." A real idiot.
That's right. I just want to point out, I was at one of the very first school shootings when it happened, and the kid didn't use an AR. He didn't use a bump stock or a shoulder rest or any of this other stuff that he's talking about banning. He used a shotgun, and he killed two people in our school with it. So I don't see how any of these policies or bans or anything that he's coming up with is going to help anything.
Well, you and I agree, Merrill, without a doubt. But this is not really about protecting people. This is about giving all of the ultimate power to central government. I want everybody to understand that. Let me make this as clear as I can. This is not about protecting even one person. This is about having all the power in central government so that they can run roughshod over you anytime they want. Anytime. Quickly, Bill, what's happening in Florida? Hi.
Yeah, Mr. Pack, good to hear from you, or talk with you. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, it's okay.
About the the military aspect of it, where he said, you know, military carry 30 round mags. I'm a veteran too, so. But yeah, but you know, you wouldn't say that civilians should have access to, you know, what the military has, though.
The military, correct? We don't have or access to what the military has.
No, and you agree with that, correct? I mean, we should not be able. I mean,
I literally via the Second Amendment think that we should have access to just about everything the military has. It would be ridiculous to have a tank in your front yard. Be ridiculous to have, you know, right. Surface to air missiles. But I think that we should certainly have access to whatever it is that's available to keep and to bear. That means we can carry it. Appreciate you, Bill. Keep it here. Much more to come. Joe Pag Show coming back.
PAG Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe PAGS.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe PAGS Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Coming your way on your Thursday. You feeling all right? Uh-huh. Say what?
Seems I got to have a change of scene. Every night I have strangest dream. Imprisoned by the way it could have been. Left here on my own, oh, so it seems. I got to leave before I
Carrie, how you doing? You good?
Start to scream.
Just fine.
Well, someone let's go. Let's do that.
Took the key. You feeling all right?
Uh-huh.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No.
Exactly right.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Indeed.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No.
Oh, that was a strain. That was a strain. I'm going to put it out there.
That was a bit rough. Yeah.
A bit strange, but you know, here's I feel comment about this was better than the one that you did. Because you refuse to bring it for the people.
I bring it. I just don't sing it.
But I see some of these stories, Karen. I just don't understand it. I don't even know if I want to do them. You know what I mean? I mean, you are the expert at finding the stupid news.
That's what I do. I do have an update on that Bryan, Texas shooting, though, if you want it.
We'll get into that in just a second. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not feeling too good myself. Sing it, people.
You're just joining us in the first hour. Carrie gave us a story out of Bryan, Texas, which, am I right, is about an hour and a half north of Houston? Is that what we're talking about
here?
Yeah. Okay, so if you don't mind, you said there was a shooting.
Yes.
And then we just didn't have any information really at all. It's very general. You do have some more now? Go ahead.
I do. From KBTX, police confirm one person was killed. Multiple were injured during a shooting Thursday afternoon at Kentmore Cabinets in Bryan. A Texas Department of Public Safety trooper was also shot in connection to the Bryan business shooting. The police say a suspect is in custody. Bryan Police Chief Eric Busk says police were called at the cabinet manufacturer at 2:30 p.m. Thursday. It took a short time for officers to respond to the scene, at which point the suspect had left the business. One person died at the scene. Four were transported to St. Joseph Health Regional Hospital in Bryan in critical condition. And the police chief said one additional person is in non-critical condition. A seventh person was transported for an asthma attack. A DPS says a trooper was shot in Grimes County while pursuing a suspect in the Bryan business shooting. The trooper, who has not been identified, as in serious but stable condition. And Busk said the suspect is believed to be an employee of Kentmore Cabinets and did not rule out the possibility of additional suspects. And police are working on a phone line where the families of Kentmore employees can get updates. And this is still an active police situation off FM 2818 at Stone City Drive. As law enforcement responds to the scene, Bryan, College Station, and Texas A&M Police responded to the scene, along with the Brazos County Sheriff's Office, Brazos County Constables, and the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Appreciate the update. We'll keep you updated if any more information comes in on that. from that serious news, certainly, to more stupidity. Saw this last night on Tucker Carlson. He was talking about how, I guess it's, is it United Airlines or American Airlines?
It's United.
Okay, United has decided that in the coming years, 50%, a full 50% of their pilot trainees and then eventually pilots will be women or people of color. I'm not really sure why that is, but that's, I guess women right now are 7 or 8%, maybe even 6%. And black people, I think, are 12% of their pilots, which is about what the population size is. But that really isn't a good gauge. But we've got that, which is only about wokedom. It has nothing to do with getting the best candidate, has nothing to do with the best, you know, the safest people who are going to be in the air. I would rather there be 100% black pilots if they're all the pilots that prove they could be safe in getting us to our destination. I don't care. I've never gotten on a plane and said, ooh, that guy looks Hispanic. I'm not sure. You know what I mean, Carrie?
I know. Don't you want the best person for the job when you're on that plane with your family?
Nah, clearly not. We have to make sure 50% are women or people of color. And then I heard a word today that I'd never heard before, BIPOC. Have you heard BIPOC?
No. No. What is that?
Apparently, it stands for Black, Indigenous, People of Color. Black, Indigenous, and People of Color. So we're covering everybody except for like white men. So it's very weird to me that we have some, and they're putting it like in the dictionary, which is just, again, mind boggling. So we've got that ridiculous wokedom because when I get on a plane, I don't care what racial background you are. I care that the company, whether United or American or Delta or fill in a blank, has chosen the best pilot for the job. I don't care about your ethnicity or your race. It does not affect me at all. Not even a little bit. Now, maybe it triggers some, and it affects some, and if you're affected or triggered by that, get off the plane. You don't have to fly that airline. Fly some other airline. But to make this policy without any real-world reason other than to make you look somehow woke is just stupid. And then you've got this. I mean, is it true that CNN is talking about fonts being racist?
A font. I believe so. Yep.
Help me out if you don't mind.
This is from Fox News. CNN has developed a reputation for finding a fence around every corner. But the liberal network was mocked on Wednesday for taking it a step further and declaring certain text fonts communicating Asian-ness can be racist. CNN has reached the epitome of we're out of stuff to pretend to be outraged by this week for clicks if they're surmising which fonts are racist, political satirist Tim Young told Fox News. A font defined as a set of type or characters all of one style can perpetuate problematic stereotypes, according to CNN. And the network's verified Twitter account wrote, for years the West has relied on so-called chop suey fonts to communicate Asian-ness in food packaging, posters, and ad campaigns. But such fonts perpetuate problematic stereotypes to accompany a report examining the theory. And this piece leaves me with more questions than virtue signals, Young said. Which fonts belong to which demographics? Does this mean Times New Roman is a Caucasian font? Is the old typewriter font for elderly people? Are there straight and gay fonts or fonts based on the 54 genders? I need to know. I'm so confused at this point. Now, the report, Karate Wonton Chow Fun, The End of Chop Suey Fonts, urges readers to close their eyes and imagine the font they'd use to depict the word Chinese. There's a good chance you pictured letters made from the swingy, wedge-shaped strokes you've seen on restaurant signs, menus, takeaway boxes, and kung fu movie posters. These chop suey fonts, as American historian Paul Shaw calls them, have been a typographical shortcut for Asian-ness for decades, reporter Ann Quito wrote. Quito then explored the history of the fonts and how they evolved. It's hard not to cringe at the Chinese stereotypes bundled up with each font package, especially when seen through the lens of today's heightened vigilance toward discrimination and systemic racism. Critics believe that using chop suey typefaces is downright racist, particularly when deployed by non-Asian creators, she wrote, before struggling to find examples of white politicians using the fonts. Now, the author wrote, white politicians, meanwhile, have been using chop suey fonts to stoke xenophobia for over a century, but only listed two examples from the past 144 years.
I mean, help me.
I cannot.
Either they're going to win, or we're going to be loud and direct and we're going to say fonts aren't racist. We're going to be loud and direct and say fonts are not racist, you idiot. We have to be willing to say, wow, that's really idiotic. That's really stupid. We have to be able to say that's really stupid when somebody says your fonts are racist. A font is just a style of type. Nothing more, nothing less. And if there's a style of type that resembles somehow the symbols used in the Chinese language, and it brings home the point that this is a Chinese beverage or Chinese food that you're purchasing at the store, what's wrong with that? What exactly is wrong with that? And I've never heard of Asian-ness. Is that a new thing too, Asian-ness?
I guess, again, that's the first time I've heard of that. But
never heard. I don't know what Asian-ness is. But I know that I enjoy some Chinese buffet every so often. I know at least one of my children who happens to be Chinese. Oh, man, she is like a self-hater, likes to go to Panda Express and eat the food there. I'm pretty sure they use a font that this person might be talking about to make it more resemble the symbolism in Chinese language. There's literally nothing wrong with that. Nothing. And it is historically stupid to pretend like there is something wrong with that. It is historically stupid. I mean, it's startling. Because it was a great question. Is Times New Roman only for white people who are descendants of the Roman Empire? Is the old type font only for people 65 and older? Are we going to check IDs now, which you're not allowed to have, by the way, if you want to vote? We're going to check IDs now to make sure you're old enough to use that font. There is a level of stupidity here I've never, ever seen before. And the only reason why it exists is because we're not calling them out every time immediately. Okay, that's stupid. Pass the potatoes. That's stupid. Pass the potatoes. Dad, can fonts be racist? No. Pass the potatoes. That's what the conversation at your dinner table should be. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you making it happen. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Do appreciate you. Let me remind you about Superbeats. Superbeats are amazing. Superbeats, getting it done. They've got something called the Superbeats Heart Shoes, and you're missing out if you haven't tried them yet. I want you to get these. You're going to have them in your purse, in your some call it a pocketbook. Have them in your pocket. Have them in your gym bag. Have them just about everywhere. You have them in the console of your car. They're easy to take with you, and this way you don't forget to take your Superbeats. They combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats soft chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, no jittery caffeine or stimulants. And now you could take just 2 of them a day, anytime, anywhere, and get the energy you want and need. Do what I did. Support your heart health with delicious Superbeats chews. Get them today at joelovesbeats.com. JoeLovesBeats.com, and you buy 2 bags, you're going to throw in a 3rd bag for free. That's JoeLovesBeats.com to get a bag of Superbeats heart shoes when you purchase 2. JoeLovesBeats.com. Make that happen right now. Appreciate you guys. Let me go to the phone lines because we're awfully woke today. We're incredibly woke. By the way, 10 minutes from now, it'll be Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, a good long interview on what's happening at these facilities in Texas, what's happening with the voting law in Georgia, and the voting law they're pushing here in Texas as well. They're both being lied about. We break that down and then some. And what can states do? What can states do in the face of a federal government that refuses to enforce laws? We talk about all that as well. Let me go to the phone lines and say hi to line 2. It's Marianne in Massachusetts. Hi, Marianne. What's going on?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm living the dream. Talk to me.
Hey, I just want to know, if we wanted to put a font with Joe Pags, what would the best font be? I've got it entirely.
I'm thinking you use spaghetti. No, you could use spaghetti and meatballs and macaroni and just go full-on ethnocentric on me.
All right. Well, but Wingdings. I'm sorry. And, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, California FB. You know, I mean, I have looked at all these, and I'm sitting here thinking about comedians, Comic Sans, who's Elephant? I mean, really? Are we really doing this? This is just insane.
Well, Marianne, I mean, your point is well taken, as you know, and you and I agree, and I think it's very funny what you brought up, funny in a very sad way, because people aren't willing to do what you and I will do. They need to look at this woman who brought this up and say, there's something wrong with you. Stop. This is incorrect. Right. You're actually hurting our collective community here by pointing out something that just doesn't exist. There is no such thing as a racist Asian font. That's stupid. Right?
I know. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. This is just insanity. I don't know where we're going.
I appreciate you. I'm telling you, you can write my name with like spaghetti and a meatball. You can make Joe, I think. I appreciate you, Marion. Thank you. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, right? Just use all pasta.
I think
pasta.
That'd be perfect. Yep.
Salami, if you want. I mean, whatever.
That'd be my font.
Yours would be a very, very, very white font. It'd be called the ghost font.
Really?
The ghost font.
No. That's
Let me. I mean, are you afraid of that big orb in the sky?
No. And I got a lot of sun yesterday. I got some color. And I'm not. No, not pasty.
You're
not
right.
Pasty
you're a bit brighter white today. You did get some color.
No, that's not what I meant.
No, you actually do look like you got a little bit of sun.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
I did. I was outside.
Now, are you a peeler? Will it all peel off like in a day or two?
No. I mean, maybe if I got sunburned, but no, I just got a little color.
So make sure I understand. You took the day off to go support your son, and you ended up sunning yourself in the
Well,
in the
it was outside at a track meet.
Wow.
So
wow.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Wow.
So
how did he do?
He did great. He got to the finals.
Nice.
And but yesterday was the last event of the year, so he did really well.
You just really screwed up just now. You know that, right?
Why?
Because you always lie and use the excuse you got to go support your son.
Now I can't say it. No,
you can't say it. You just admitted to all of the country.
My younger son is still playing a sport.
I don't know about that.
Yep, I'm buying that.
Sounds like a story. Sounds like you're making up a story. Let me go back to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line three. It's going to be David in Texas. David, what's going on? Hi.
Not much. Glad. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Just, on the airline situation, just a funny story from years and years ago. At a meeting, the speaker was with one of the major airlines. He was a trainer, been with them for many, many years, and interesting story. He basically, just to shorten the version he used, but he said the company didn't particularly worry about getting you and or your luggage wherever you thought you were going, or your luggage. They really weren't too concerned about either thing.
What are they
concerned
about?
Their primary concern, their number one goal as an airline was when the airplane took off, their first priority was to land safely.
Well, I would hope that's the first priority, yes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if everything else works out, great. It's even better. But now it seems their priority is who we hire, not quality, but who they are or what they are.
Well, David, they literally said our priority is hiring 50%. People of color. I mean, for an airline to say that, I don't know that I want to fly on that airline. I want to go with your airline that says, let's land safely. I'm with you.
Yeah, well, I think it's the same airline now.
Well, great. That's awesome. All right, I appreciate you, David. Thank you. Listen, at the end of the day, this is really non-confrontational. This is non-controversial. This is actually very direct and very clear. I would like for you to safely get me to where I want to go. Not asking much. I don't care what color you are or what your ancestry is. Jeff, quickly, come on.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Living the dream. You got to go fast. Come on.
Hey, I guess the one thing that I'm wondering, so if United in the next decade can hire 50% of people of color, does that mean that they haven't been hiring people of color now, so they're racist now and they're going to change? I don't get it.
Well, they're racist now, and Jeff, thank you. They're racist now because they haven't met that quota, And now, to fix the racism, they're going to go full-on racist to stop hiring qualified white people. Because that makes sense in America in 2021. That makes sense in Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris's America, and Nancy Pelosi's America, and Chuck Schumer's America. Let's fix our past racism by being as racist as we possibly can. Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas, Dan Patrick, when we come back. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas. It's the Republican, Dan Patrick. Dan, how are you?
Hey, Joe, I'm absolutely terrific. Good to be with you, as always.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you.
We have quite a session. We have quite a session going.
No, I know you do, and I want to get into what's happening in the state of Texas. You know we've got 16 stations in Texas. We've got 147 around the country, though, and the country is really, really concerned about what's happening right where I'm sitting in San Antonio, Texas. They want to know what the heck is going on with these allegations of sexual assault, people with COVID being next to people who don't have COVID, overcrowding at the Freeman Coliseum in San Antonio, which is it's a place you go and watch concerts. It's a place you go and enjoy the rodeo. And we've got a bunch of illegal immigrants in there now, and the federal government acts as if it doesn't care. Fill me in on what you know about what's happening here and in other facilities in Texas.
Yeah. Well, I think the first issue is I don't think they care, Joe. Yeah. That's part of the problem. If they cared, Kamala Harris would have been here. Let me ask you this. Is there any time in history that a president gave an order to a vice president and the vice president ignored it?
Never, not as
when
I know.
When the president says, I'm asking the vice president to handle this, when Trump asked Pence, when Obama asked Biden, go down the list, they did it. So first of all, there's obviously no respect in the White House, even from the vice president to the president. And then there's no command of leadership from the president to vice president because they haven't been here. They should be on this. You've got Democrats now asking to close down the Freeman Center in San Antonio. So here's what we know. We had people call state agencies and say that there are kids with COVID and they're not being separated. There's sexual assaults going on, which is no surprise. They're not getting fed properly. And so you say, well, why does this happen? Because the federal government, the Biden administration, Joe, has no infrastructure to handle anything they're doing. There are certain groups that the state or the federal government hires that come in and do this work. There are no more workers left. They've financially. I mean, they've overburdened the system that they don't have the volunteers, nor do they have enough federal agents. They don't have enough Border Patrol. They don't have enough U.S. Marshals. I mean, who's going to do this? And so they set up, what are they going to do, have the military take these places over? So they've allowed thousands upon thousands of people to come across the border, lots of families and kids, no place to put them, no forethought, no plan, nothing. And then you see kids being dropped over the fence. We've had at least one drowned in the river, I think two. We have kids. Think about this, Joe. You have kids when you're in your 147 stations around the country. You know, the kids coming in, we don't know who their parents are. We don't have any DNA on them. The adults that they are with could be the coyotes are smuggling them in to sex traffic them. The Biden-Harris, and I'm not saying this partisan, this is just true. I've never seen any administration in my life it's in their hands now to protect our America first and to protect these children and protect these people who are being taken advantage of by drug cartels. And they're not doing it. They don't seem to care about it, or they would be doing something about it. And even the Democrats in the Valley are livid about it.
No, you're right. And I mean, Henry Cuellar is one of the loudest voices saying, let's fix this. Yeah. It is Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas. Let me ask you about the starkness and the differences between the Trump administration and the Biden administration. Yes. And by that, I mean, you talk to Trump all the time. Our governor, Greg Abbott, talked to Trump all the time. He talked to all the border governors and governors beyond that. Have you heard from Joe Biden? Have you spoken with him? Have you spoken with Kamala Harris?
Never. And I had a personal relationship with the president, as you know, and I was his campaign chair for both of his elections. So we would talk just on a personal basis of things. Normally, the president would go to the governor and not to the lieutenant governor. Yeah. But in the case of Trump, he would come to me because of the relationship we had, as well as the governor. But so I can't speak for the governor specifically, but I can say the coordination and the communication between the White House and the governor's mansion and the legislature here has been pretty non-existent. Here's the thing about Trump. He was a practical guy that said, okay, how do we secure the border? How do we protect America? How do we protect these families from being abused and taken advantage of by the drug cartels? Because what's actually happening, Joe? We are creating, we are enslaving people who come here with the cartels, who charge them more money than they could possibly have and make them indentured servants, because the cartels will tell them, whenever you do get a job, you have to send us so much money, and if you don't, your family back home's being threatened. So this is a terrible situation that the Democrats are putting them in. The president said very clear, he made a deal with Mexico, and I'm sure it had a lot to do with trade,
right.
And I'm sure it had a lot to do with various programs that maybe we funded for them, but he got Mexico to put their army on the border. We sent a clear message, you're not coming in if you're illegal, by beginning to build the wall and replace parts that had been, you know, had crumbled over the years.
Right.
He was serious about it, and Mexico helped us. But Biden undid everything that Trump did, and we really did have, we had some bad months of high people coming over the border
right.
in the Trump administration, but they were few and far between. And by the time he left office, in the last 18 months, it was really under control, better than I've ever seen.
Well, I think last month, Dan, it was 130,000 plus that were apprehended.
Yeah.
That doesn't even count the ones that weren't apprehended. It's Dan Patrick. No. He's the lieutenant governor, the great state of Texas. Let me ask you this. What are the rights of the state of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California when it comes to the federal government says the Freeman Coliseum, we're just going to take it over and put as many illegal immigrants as we can in there, and you, Texas, have no rights? Because I know that the governor has, and you've said, we're going to send in the Texas Rangers to investigate the allegations of crimes happening. But what can you really do? Can you tell the federal government, no, you can't just take over a Coliseum and have a bunch of people shoved into an area in San Antonio, Texas?
Okay, so we've asked those questions and we've talked about this. So
right.
if the federal government houses people on federal property, like a military base, then they've got control over that situation.
Right.
If they have them in a federal detention center, which they don't have a lot of in Texas, they have control of that space. If they sign a contract with a private entity, they have control of that space. But if it's county or city property, public property, we have a right to intercede. But beyond that, Joe, let's say that the Auditorium of San Antonio, I believe, is county, and they obviously made a contract with them. But if a crime is going on, wherever it might be, and they're not addressing that issue, then we have a responsibility and a right to go in there and do what we need to do to protect those children if they're being sexually assaulted.
Right.
So we can do what we must do, as we would in any case. You go to save a life. Look, there are so many young girls that are and young women and older women that come across the border. Part of their bounty, Joe, to get here is many are just expected and subjected to sexual assault on the journey here.
It's horrible.
The coyotes, the famous rape trees, if the coyote would, hang women's underwear to show what had happened in the past, it's kind of marking their territory. It's the abuse of women and girls that are coming across the border. It's just horrendous.
And the policies of this administration are making it so. They're making it worse. And at the end of the day, you have to wait till something like that happens before you can move in and arrest somebody on a criminal matter, because the federal government won't do its job in handling immigration and naturalization. It's Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor of the great state of Texas. You have a lot of work going on in the Texas legislature right now in the Senate, and I know you just came from the Senate floor to do the phone call.
Yes.
Let me start with Georgia quickly and the fact that Biden is calling that Jim Crow on steroids. He's lying. Of course, they expand access to voting. They expand access to early voting, expand access to voting until 7 o'clock at night. Yes, you can give people water who are waiting in line to vote, as long as you're not, out there campaigning for somebody. And the idea that it's somehow black and brown people in Georgia don't know how to get a driver's license is racist from its very start. So here in Texas, we're overhauling the laws to make sure that people have free and fair elections. And you've got people like Beto O'Rourke showing up saying that it's disenfranchising black and brown people. So tell me what you're doing in Texas in the Senate, in the legislature here, and because people around the country are hearing a lie about it.
Yeah, they're being lied to, and I've had it with the media, and I've had it with the Democrats on this, and big corporations like American Airlines, who actually called my office last week after we passed Senate Bill 7. And, you know, it's a priority bill, so my office has a lot of input in that bill, yeah, along with Senator Brian Hughes, who was masterful in carrying the bill. So we're very familiar with the bill. We know what's in it. And American Airlines calls and says, we just want to let you know, don't take this personally, and tell the governor, don't take it personally, but we're going to oppose the bill. And then my chief of staff said, well, have you read the bill? And they said, well, no, we haven't read the bill. So you're going to oppose the bill?
Come on.
And so here are a couple of quick factoids. So I was one of the co-authors of the photo voter ID in 2011, and we heard the same story. Again, minorities can't, you know, don't have IDs, photo IDs. They can't get them, except, of course, we provide those free for people who don't have them.
Right.
Very few people. I mean, you can't do anything in life without a photo ID today, but there are a handful of people that, you know, might not have it,
yeah,
and we address that. But since that time, Joe, in 2011, we have increased, when they said this was going to suppress voting, we have increased voting in our presidential election, 2012 to 2020, by almost 40%.
Wow.
In the gubernatorial election from 2014 to 2018, which would have been 14, the first time I ran for lieutenant governor,
yeah,
the first election after we passed that bill, we've increased, get this, Joe, we've increased voter turnout in Texas 76%.
How can they argue against that, Dan? Because they keep on doing it.
Yeah, and so in 2017, and by the way, in 2000 and before we passed voter ID, the participation rate of registered voters was around 55%. In this last election, it was almost 68%. So voter suppression, we're breaking records with voter turnout. People want black, white, and brown, Republican, Democrat, Independent. They want secure elections. They don't want their primaries or their election stolen from them. This is just the left supplanting the word voter suppression for voter security. The bill that we passed does not change our early voting days. In fact, it adds 2 hours a day,
right,
to the voting day till 9 p.m. It doesn't change anything on election day. It doesn't change anything for seniors on mail-in ballots or people with disabilities. We tightened up things that Harris County on their own did. They added 24-hour voting. Well, it's not in the election code. They can't do that. They added drive-in voting. Not in the election code. Can't do that, but they did it. So
and
now
the Constitution says it's up to the state legislature to do things like that. So Harris County broke the law in the last election.
Right. And that's Houston for people around the country.
Yeah.
And so as we have 254 counties in the state. And I said, Harris County does not make law. They're not the state capital of Texas.
Right.
You know, we do that here. So what we did, you know, what they say we repealed, no, it never was in the law. They made it up. Now, we did add one extra week of voting. We did at the state level because of COVID, because of social distancing.
Yeah.
And we're not having that because we don't need that. In fact, if you look at early voting, Joe, for us, it's now about 60 to 65% of voters vote early. And the first day is usually busy. And the last 2 days, last Thursday and Friday are busy. But the days in between are busy. And so we don't need that third week. It was a temporary thing. So we haven't cut back anything. Again, we've added a few hours each day to voting.
Right.
So this is just a big lie. And when the Democrats talk about Jim Crow, I guess, you know, it just brings back, it haunts them from the past. Because remember, the Democrats ran all of the southern states,
yep,
since the Civil War. So the people who had a poll tax, the people who had Jim Crow laws, these are Democrats.
The Voting Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, Dan, as you know, was to stop Democrats from doing what they were doing. And that's exactly right. Segregation, slavery, lynchings, Jim Crow, separate but equal. It was all Democrat policies and Democrat mechanisms. It's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. I've got to run maybe a minute on this, if you don't mind. Is it your opinion that the illegal immigrants and the overflow at the border, the Democrats want that because they're going to give them a path to citizenship, and then you have to make it easier for them to vote in elections? Is voting and illegal immigration tied in your mind?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I've been saying for years, I've said it on your show, there aren't 11 million illegal immigrants here. They're somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 million.
Right.
This year alone, we may apprehend 1 million on the Texas border, and if we get 1 out of 4, that means another 3 million came in, so we may, by the time this year is over, we may have 35 million people. That's almost 10% of the population in the United States, and they will give them an express pass to citizenship, they'll give them with HB HR 1 they want to pass, they'll give them all voting rights immediately. And in their world, they will have, I mean, a lot of these people coming across the border have Biden shirts on, not only supplying it for them.
They do.
But, yeah, and so they're all going to be thankful to Biden for bringing them here. And you add another, you know, let's say half of that 30 million is over 18, old enough to vote. You got another 10, 15, 18 million people who can vote. That's why, Joe, see, when I say they don't care or don't know,
right,
they don't want to know.
Well, I think they don't care. If this were about humanitarian, ism, they would be taking care of the people and not worrying about power and control. This is about power and control. That's why you've got 4,200 people stacked up. No, exactly right. Go ahead.
The left will sacrifice these kids, these young girls, and these young adults, or anyone. They'll sacrifice them for their greater goal. We have to understand the left is trying to take over this country. They've taken over higher education. They've taken over most of mainstream media. They've taken over big tech. They've taken over the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has become a leftist party and a progressive party.
Right.
And so they've taken over everything. And we in Texas stand alone, Joe. We in Texas and in the Texas Senate, we're going to, I called it out for what it is. Everything today the Republicans are for or against, it's the cry of racism.
Right.
It's racist how you handed out the vaccines. It's racist on your border policy. It's racist in education. It's racist. I'm tired of this racism. America's tired of it. I agree with Charles Barkley.
Right.
I don't quote him often, but Charles said he believes most white people and people of color are great people, and I agree.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you.
And you've got the leftist politicians who want to take over this country, and this is what this is all about, and we've got to fight back. And Texas, I mean, look at Georgia. They moved the All-Star game away from a city
that
has 51% black population to a city that has 9% population of black or people of color. And somehow that benefited people of color by, it cost Atlanta $100 million and the people of color in that city lost out and the white people in Denver gained. So this is how stupid. This is why corporations like American Airlines and all these other companies need to stay out of this, keep their nose out of it. And by the way, we celebrated today, Joe, with Senate Bill 4 today, tap off the show, because when Mark Cuban stopped playing the national anthem with the Dallas Mavericks, I said no more. So today we passed a bill that says if you take any money from a city, county, or a state to help build any kind of ballpark or stadium, you must play the national anthem. We passed it.
Perfect. I love it. Dan, I love it. Thank you. I appreciate you coming off the Senate floor to talk to me today.
Sure.
Let's do it again very soon. Sure. Thank you for standing up for Texas and the country. Appreciate you. We're back after this. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Always enjoy hanging out with Dan Patrick, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas. Dan doesn't mince words. He doesn't pull punches. He makes it happen. He cares about American traditional American values. He cares about Texas and the country. And listen, at the end of the day, you've got to make sure you've got integrity in your voting. If you don't feel confident enough that your vote is going to count, you're not going to go and vote. That does, in fact, disenfranchise people. And I don't want that to happen. So passing these laws in Georgia, now in Texas, makes perfect sense. But you always have the naysayers on the left who want to compare it to something people on the left did. They're literally comparing it to what they did with Jim Crow back in the day. And that's pretty sick, if you think about it. Campus reform coming up next hour, some other nuttiness, plus the Pags parody. Carrie didn't play this whole hour.
Oh, no. I'm sure you'll make
gonna
up for it.
Going to have to play it next hour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you have
play,
to.
Play it three times next hour.
Ooh,
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeedy do. Glad to have you. Wonderful radio stations everywhere. Joe Pags Show coming your way on your Thursday. Feeling all right. Oh, yeah, she's here. Chocolate Voice is here. Getting it done. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay. You feeling all right? Yeah.
No, Mark and Don.
Seems I got to have a change in scene.
Mark and Don called.
Because every night I have a strange.
They don't like the way
said,
I say
stop
it.
Saying Mel's name first.
It just sounds right to me.
I don't know. Mel called. He's very happy with you.
I can imagine.
I got to leave before I start to scream.
Come on.
Somebody locked the door and took the key.
Bring it out.
Feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
Should I reminisce a little bit about GFR, or are you not interested?
Oh, please. Please. We all know, though, they don't want you playing sax with them, so it has to be a different story.
See, that's not the important part of the relationship, to be honest, but it's I'm not surprised.
I think it's funny.
Knowing who you are, that you would bring that up first.
I know. You know. That's where my mind
knowing
goes.
Who you are as a friend.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Honestly, let's really hit him on the one that he really doesn't like. No, the thing is, I was doing radio in Palm Beach County, Florida, and I was the 7 to midnight guy. And that's a long shift, 7 to midnight. It just is.
Hey, try midnight
it wasn't
to
talk,
6.
It was music.
Because that was me.
What's that?
Try midnight to 6. That was me.
Well, they put you in an appropriate spot, if that makes sense. So, what? Let's hide her until... That was before your voice turned chocolatey.
Nobody's going to hear. Nobody's going to hear
that's
anyway.
That's right. From midnight to 6, already sleeping.
Yeah.
Ratings don't matter. True. You got to hire her. You got to hire the girl. She's from Nebraska. So I'm just getting you back on the whole saxophone thing. When I got off the air at midnight, you had... What did she call it? Love Songs with Sunny? Maybe it was that. The station was Sunny 104.3 FM in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's now Sunny 106 point somebody or something. They've changed the actual numbers on the station, which is weird. But it was Sunny 104.3 FM. And maybe I moved to Afternoon Drive by then. And Afternoon Drive was 3 to 7 p.m. And then Sunny would take over at 7 and do music, Sunny music with the lovers or something. Whatever it was a bunch of love songs, a bunch of schmaltz.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunny and I became friends. And she's somebody who has been in broadcasting a very long time. And I knew of her, but I had never met her. And then we became very fast friends. And it turned out, I don't know if they were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time or they were married yet, but she's like dating. She was like, have you ever heard of Grand Funk Railroad? And I said, duh. Who hasn't?
Hello.
Hello. Mark, Don, and Mel. Nobody ever says Mel, Don, and Mark, or whatever you're saying.
Mel, Mark, and Don. That's the way to do
right.
it.
So, if you say so. So, we got to talking, and hey, why don't we go have some dinner, whatever. You bring your wife. So Jenny and I went. Her parents went, too. We sat there, and we just reminisced about Don Brewer and Grand Funk Railroad, who had split up some years earlier. Now, Don, for those who don't know, is the drummer. He's about 6'4", and then with the afro, because he had his hair is a very, it's like a big afro, and he's about 6'9", with the hair. You got to look at the hair back in the day. He doesn't wear it that way anymore.
Okay.
But he's the drummer, and he wrote An American Band. That is their biggest hit ever.
Love that song.
An American Band. He wrote that one. Mark Farner was the lead singer. They called him the Canary. What a great high voice, incredible harmonies with Don, and it was amazing. Mel Shocker never says anything. The bass player.
Why do I always
it's a power trio.
First.
It's so interesting to me because from then we were like, we went back to their house. We carried the gold records, the platinum records
on
the wall.
That's cool.
50,000 people they're singing in front of in Japan. It was just an amazing experience. And just getting to know the guy as a guy. I wasn't knowing him as the drummer. Because as much as you're familiar with those songs, I don't know Don Brewer, the drummer. I didn't know, okay, there's the drummer. I didn't know who it was and what his name was and who wrote the songs. Now I got to know him as a friend. And it was very, very cool. So next thing I know, we're at their house and I'm like, do you still play the drums? He said, well, yeah. And he's got his drum set set up, but it's like an electronic drum set. And he sits down and just starts knocking out some incredible. This is a rock and roll drummer guy. I'm like, holy crap. So I said, now I'm not taking credit for anything, but I said, what are you doing? You people need to be touring. You need to be out there. This is incredible music. This is music that people love. What is going on? And not 6 months later, they announced the new tour.
No, that had nothing to do with you.
Grand Funk Railroad got back together because of me having dinner.
No, I seriously doubt that.
The story I just told is true. Now, you're not going to give me credit for it, but it's true they went back on tour.
I know, but I'm saying you don't know that had anything to do.
And the original lineup, it was Mark, Don, and Mel. There they were.
And the dude had some serious hair. Wow.
Dude, am I right?
I mean, yeah.
6'9 with the hair.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
And that's like a line from Fletch, isn't it, Polo? Didn't Fletch say he was 6'4", 6'9", with the hair or something like that, with the fro? I
think so.
It was like a dream sequence where he was imagining that he was playing for the Lakers. So, yeah, I made the suggestion, and I'm sure it played a role in them going,
It didn't. I'm telling
you. Now, they played a lot of different places. I went and saw them in a lot of different places. I announced them in Lansing at Common Ground, I think was the name of the event. And I announced them on stage, and here at Grand Funk Railroad, blah, 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 here it is. And I got to hang out with the band. So I'm hanging out with the band, Mark, blah, 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 talked a lot, you know, very A-type personality, great, unbelievable singing voice. Don, more laid back, hanging out, how you doing? I don't think in the 5 or 10 different concerts I went to, Mel Shocker said a word.
Wow. Quite
an amazing bass player. Amazing. I don't know that I've ever talked to Mel, and I've been in his presence many, many times.
He didn't like you.
Don't. Let me stop yourself. Why. Stop yourself. Don't do it.
Oh, I just did.
It's not going to come off like
I
you want it to.
I just went there, yeah.
Well, then, you know what? It shows the people how mean you are. You took the day off yesterday to sun your nose, and now you're back today giving me a hard time
because
I reunited a rock and roll classic rock and roll band.
Oh my gosh, you did not.
No. I reunited a band, Carrie.
Well, let me ask you, did they ever thank you for that? All the times you're backstage,
in their own way.
No, did they actually say, hey, thanks for the great idea. We got back together because of you.
Hey, man, come and hang out and stuff. This is cool. And here's Mel. Just don't talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not buying that. Nope.
Now, since then, Mark has left the band. They've split up, but Don and Mel are still performing. I think the front man's name is Max something. He used to sing for like 38 Special or somebody. But but then when the group was together, they were, amazing. And, you know, I think they should have given me some residuals, to be honest with you.
No, because, again, you had nothing to do with that.
Let me ask you this. Do you have proof of that?
I know.
I will call
Sonny
right now on the air. Sonny, didn't I bring the band back together?
Yeah, you do that. Let's see what Sonny has to say.
And by the way, Sonny Quinn, her name is Sonny Quinn. She has written a book probably some years ago now, and I am mentioned in the book.
About? What is the book about?
Why are you making a face? I mentioned
because
in the
book. Because I want to know what the book is about.
It was about being like a touring wife. She's on tour with the band.
And why are you in it?
Because she ran into her good friend Joe Parker at the time. They don't even say Pags or Pag Lirulo. It says Parker. Nobody even knows it's me.
Right.
Which is so rude.
Oh, that's funny.
Now, Sonny is a musician. This is a true story. She is from Connecticut, and she used to play in a band, and I think she played bass, which she's like 4'2". I think she plays bass, and she was the bass player for Michael Bolton. True story.
Oh, interesting.
So we're not playing around here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll give you a little, because people love this. And Denver right now, and some other states, this is their first hour. They're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? We're having a little bit of fun. We're letting our hair down. It's been a rough day.
Indeed.
So talking about Michael Bolton. Now, I'm on Sunny 104.3 FM, continuous soft hits. Try not to say
too
loudly, guys and gals, because you're going to get the FCC strike when they hear you say continuous soft hits. Anyway, it turns out Michael Bolton has a traveling softball team. I kid you not.
Okay.
This is 1994.
If you tell me he's asking you to play on the softball team, I'm going to call you out because I know that's not
true. Can you let me tell a story,
okay.
Lucky? Can you let me enjoy my life? Why am I not the important one ever on my own show?
All right, I'm sorry. You can finish your story.
He's got a softball team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were invited. This is actually 92. I think I was on Sunny 104.3 from 92 to 94. So this is 92 or 93. Bolton's still knocking out the hits. He's still making music. I don't know what he's done recently. Still has the long hair. And I'm hearing he is a softball aficionado. He's amazing. He's unbelievable. This is crazy how great he is. And he plays third base. I'm like, man, that's the hot corner. He's playing third base. He's got to be good. I kid you not, I'm watching the game. There's Michael Bolton at third base, standing behind another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what is it?
standing behind another guy.
What's he did? What did he? Person next, I said, listen, why? That other guy needs to get out of his way. They said, no. They're afraid he's going to get hit in the face with the ball. So that guy's actually going to play third base.
Oh, so that poor guy is going to get not. The one hit.
Right.
Oh.
So the guy, so if a ground ball goes to third, dang. I kid you not. The guy catches it, flips it to Michael Bolton, who then tries to throw it to first base in time to get the guy out. I'm not even kidding.
Well, what a job.
At that point, I felt like saying, listen, Mikey, I'll come and play third base, you big wuss. I kid you not. Funny. These are all real stories.
That's funny.
And yes, I brought the band back together. Some would say I split them up too. But I'm going to take credit for the first part. Yeah, I didn't split them up.
No.
But you know that none of this is a lie about Don and stuff, because when they were in town, they had Pagsy over there, and I went and took a picture with him backstage.
Yes, I remember that story. I do. And Mel still didn't talk to you, did he?
Have you ever been supportive of anything in your entire life?
Yes.
Because I've been your friend for how long now? And I still get nothing.
Let
me tell you what you brought back from your day off yesterday. A bag of nothing. I opened it up. I was like, oh, look, Carrie brought me something back. There's air in it.
Wow.
What the hell?
All right. Come on. I'm just having some fun.
Those are great stories. Aren't those great stories?
Fantastic stories. But the ratings are going through the roof right now.
We actually are getting great ratings because at Pagsy we'll talk about nothing for a while.
That's right.
We put a new promotion out. And on top of promoting you and Sam as great women in radio,
oh, I love that.
We also say, get the Joe Pags show. He doesn't talk about anything.
He talks about nothing.
Talks about nothing for 3 hours a day. Go and get this program. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Sam, right now I'll only take phone calls from people who think that the stories that I just told were true or that I was lying my ass off. That's who I'll take phone calls. All right, Sam, are we clear?
Okay.
Okay, because I brought the band back together again, to be honest with you. And we'll have a PAGS parody when we come back. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be campusreform.org. And Robert Schmad is the guy's name. He's a very, very smart guy. And I think you're going to enjoy what he has to say. It really does highlight what's going on college campuses. And it's not all good. I'm just here to tell you, it's a little bit rough, to be honest with you. All right. Let me tell you in the meantime about Stamps.com. Stamps.com, a great company organization. Stamps.com really get it done. You've got a business, you've got to get postage, you've got to do UPS. Why not save a bunch of money and also do it from the comfort of your own home, your own office, your home office, whatever. Stamps.com, get the services of the post office and UPS all in one place, and big discount mailing and shipping rates. Simply use your computer to print out official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want. You can send it out there. If your mail is ready, you can schedule the pickup, you can drop it off yourself. It's that simple. Save up to 40% off of post office rates, up to 62% off of UPS rates. That's why almost a million small businesses are using Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com right now. No risk. Use my promo code PAGS. Get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in PAGS, P-A-G-S, Stamps.com. Promo code PAGS. Never go to the post office again. All right, we had a PAGS parody today. In this one, I did this only because you guys who are listening and watching and whatever, let me know that Hannity and Linda yesterday were talking about a New York parody, and Linda was trying to get Hannity to do it. And he said, I'm not singing a parody. That's crazy. So I took that cue, got a hold of Linda, said, I'll knock one out. And they actually aired it today on his show. Here it is. Sean says New York is dead. It's not the city that never sleeps anymore. It's the city that's dead. And he's sick of it. So I figured I'd bring it like it's been rotten. They were very nice to me about this. Carrie was hating on it.
Start spreading the news.
You can admit it.
I'm leaving today. don't want to be a part of it. New York, New York. Cuomo's abuse.
Exactly right.
COVID's here to stay. Right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. Don't want to wake up in a city run by that creep. I'll soon go over the hill, leave this trash heap. De Blasio blows upwards that crime goes. Bad guys run every part of it, like old New York. I'll get right out of there, take my family anywhere in my rear view. New York, New York.
Come on now, bring it. You chair dancing, Carrie? Come on.
No, I'm good.
New York, New York. Don't want to wake up in a city that's 6 feet deep.
Get it? It's dead. You get it?
And find I might be carjacked, Central Park attacked. Texas, I'm pleased they don't like police. Man, are they on crack?
The Obligatory Crack Line. Right, Carrie? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I did kind of want to... That song makes you want to do those high kicks, like the New York City Rockettes do. You know, that song.
Kinda, well, did you?
No.
I would have kept you on camera.
Because I am on camera. I know. I would not be doing
it. But it does. It gives you that feel, right?
It does, yeah.
All right, got to do a break here. When we come back, it's going to be campusreform.org. Do not touch that dial. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have back another great young journalist from campusreform.org. It's Robert Schmad. He's been on before. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe.
It's a pleasure to have you back, man. I got to tell you, I've said this every time, and those watching right now, the men especially, are going, dude, give me that hair. That is all right. I'm not mad at your hair. That's for sure. Listen, since we spoke last, you know, you're getting closer to final exams. I know the COVID, the effect of COVID has certainly affected people like you and other college students across the nation. Just tell me about your life right now. I mean, you said you're getting ready for finals. We can get into that. That's a stressful time. But what about your actual education? Do you go to school yet? Is it still all online? How's it working?
Yeah, so I'm on campus right now because I'm doing some research in my school's political science department. However, the majority of my classes are online. I have one stats course that's in person. You know, quality of online education isn't great. I spend more time gaming than I do actually taking notes. The one in-person class, though, is nice.
Now, I play the Fortnite. Don't look for me on Fortnite. I'm telling you, I'm pretty good at it, too. All right, so that's interesting to me. Now, we probably talked about this last time, but how about the camaraderie? Do you guys, are your friendships all online now? Hey, we were in that Zoom class together. Like to get to know you. You want to have a glass of wine online sometime? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, honestly, I've made like zero connections through my classes right. this year. Everything has been through, you know, extracurriculars, through the publication that we've got started up here, through the College Republicans. You know, we still do stuff in portion because we're cool, but yeah, classes not great for, you know, building connections right now.
You can check out more about Robert over on campusreform.org. Just look him up. It's S-C-H-M-A-D is his last name, first name Robert. All right, so you've got some stories for us, as you guys always do. And again, go to campusreform.org every day like I do, people, because they really do amazing journalism there. The Colorado School of Mines, is that really how it's spelled? M-I-N-E-S, like coal mines? What is the Colorado School of Mines?
Yeah, so the Colorado School of Mines, it's an engineering college in, you know, Colorado, believe it or not.
Interesting. I'd never heard of it before. Now, they're offering a Ramadan exams or some sort of Ramadan exam support. I'm not sure what that is for Muslim students. And I guess they're not including other faiths. First and foremost, what is Ramadan exam support? You don't have to take an exam on Ramadan? What does that mean?
Yeah, so my understanding of it is they've chosen to make a very big deal about providing comprehensive exam accommodations for Muslim students who are observing Ramadan. And, you know, they'd allow their exams to be delayed in order to, you know, facilitate their fasting. And the move really does come off as, you know, purely performative because they had a pre-existing policy that would have allowed Muslim students to file for a religious exemption.
Right.
However, they went through the process of creating a whole other web page and administrative apparatus, which, you know, given how few Muslim students they have, it seems a little bit over the top. And like they're just trying to make a statement.
So it's really important what you just said. There already was a mechanism in place where Muslim students could request some sort of a delay or some sort of a exception. Look, I grew up Catholic. When there was a Catholic holiday, we would go and do Good Friday and we wouldn't go to school if there was school. But there are also things that weren't major holidays that we would still take off. We had a CCD thing. Somebody's getting their first confirmation. So you request some sort of an allowance and you get it. So why do you think they made the separate page so they could say, hey, look how woke we are. We made a Ramadan page.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it is. And the funny thing about Ramadan is, like, it doesn't even stipulate that they can't get exams. My understanding of the holiday or the, you know, the whole deal is that you just can't eat during daylight hours. You have a relatively large breakfast before the sun comes out and, you know, dinner after that, after the sun goes down. So, you know, even having an exemption for this seems reasonably unnecessary because they could just, you know, eat a large breakfast beforehand to prepare themselves for the day if, you know, nourishment really was a concern for taking exams. So, yeah, it really is just kind of... they're trying to seem very woke to appease, you know, whoever, you know. It's just a classic move that colleges do.
Look how woke we are. There's an NFL player, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they interviewed him on Ramadan, and I think they had a Thursday night game that day or something. There was a game that was happening during Ramadan, and he said, I have to fast in these hours. Yeah, I might feel a little bit weaker, but this is my job. I'm going to go play the game tonight. He wasn't sitting out or asking for an exemption or let's move the game. I wonder why this college, this school of Mines, for God's sakes, decided that this is important. Was there one squeaky wheel? One person said, hey, I'm a Muslim. Why aren't you making accommodations for me? Do we know?
I don't know. It seemed to have really come out of nowhere. And you make a good point about the football player. Like, colleges are, especially engineering colleges, are supposed to prepare you to, you know, function in the real world. And if you have a job, you're not always going to be able to say, okay, well, I just can't work for, like, you know, 8 hours in the middle of the day. So it's really setting a bad example for, you know, practical education and kind of shifting education more towards this weird ideological hodgepodge rather than, you know, an actual substantive thing that you can extract value from.
But we are woke, and they can say that, I guess, and that somehow makes them feel better. It's Robert Schmad. He is from campusreform.org. Go there and check out everything that he does. This campus buzzword just made it into the dictionary. I don't know the word. Fill us in.
Yeah, so dictionary.com has recently codified BIPOC, which stands for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, as like an allegedly real word.
What?
And that kind of, yeah, right? And then BIPOC, it arose from like this cadre of campus activists, and, you know, including some at my own school, who just felt that POC just wasn't good enough and that Blacks and American Indians had to be given preferential treatment.
But I thought by definition they were POC. If you buy into the whole POC thing, I mean, I think I have a color. Why I'm not included is weird. but so you had to add Black, Indigenous, and then other people of color, really?
Yeah, it's strange. Like, I suspect the reason it's gained so much traction is because, you know, this class of materially comfortable liberals that are bred by universities are hypersensitive towards, like, any words that are used to designate minorities. And they have, also, you know, as a product of that, they have a strange, almost paternalistic savior complex, as though they think non-whites need to live in a society where we're constantly coddled in order to function. And that just kind of plays into, like, okay, well, we need to, like, give these people, like, a special, like, designation. Otherwise, well, how are they going to function? It really... I don't know, kind of points towards that whole idea of the bigotry of low expectations.
You know when it's going to stop, Robert? And you appear to be darker toned than I am. I'm not sure what your heritage is. I'm Italian. I'm Southern Italian. I'm olive skinned. White supremacists hate people like me. but at the end of the day, why do we have to make that demarcation? Look, you go to school. You know some of these people. Why exactly do they go through life saying, I won't feel better about myself unless you identify me regarding my skin tone, my hair coarseness, my racial or ethnic background? What is it about that sort of self-esteem they gain from that? And if they don't hear it, somehow we're being degenerative against them in our society. I mean, people don't say, hey, aren't you Italian to me? I don't feel bad. And I don't say, hey, you better introduce me as an Italian guy, because that would be stupid. So what is it about this generation? Can you pinpoint why they need this sort of pat on the back about their ancestry?
If I had to guess, really, it has to do with like the decline of faith. You know, the Bible is very clear. People have value regardless of who we are. You know, the book of Acts, especially, is very clear that, you know, your heritage doesn't matter. We, you know, right, can all be saved. And, you know, in my generation, the idea, you know, religion has declined pretty harshly. And I think racial ideology has kind of supplanted it and taken the helm, where a lot of people are lost and, you know, looking for something to give themselves value. And they latch on to their heritage, which I think can be very damaging, especially when it presents like this.
I had a friend tell me once, and this made so much sense. I had nothing to do with that man and that woman that had relations, and then I was the byproduct. Why is it that I have to live through the guise of that? I mean, I am what I am. Accept it, don't accept it. But I don't need you to bolster my ego by saying, man, I really appreciate your hazel eyes. That doesn't make any sense. It's actually, if you want to compliment somebody on their heritage or talk to them about it, I think that's fair game. But to say you must now classify me as non-Hispanic white or BIPOC, dude, I never heard that word before. You just said it today. And I communicate for a living. I think that it is the, what did you say? It's the level of low expectations for people other than, I guess, white men. We expect everybody else is stupid. They can't get a driver's license because of their skin tone. They don't fit into this category. So let's coddle them and make them feel better about their existence. Wasn't it better when we just said, you know what? Work hard, have drive, determination, and ambition, and you can succeed in America, no matter what you look like?
Oh, yeah, I think it was way better. And if you look at the various social indicators from the past before, you know, this really started, you know, becoming a big thing, I do think we saw better. I do think it was better in a number of measurable ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can get back to that, because there are young people like you and people who aren't that old like me. And then I've got five kids that are growing up in such a way that color and background and ancestry is cool to talk about, but it doesn't really matter in the bigger scheme of things. Hopefully we'll get that wokeism to start dying down. It is Robert Schmad. He's from campusreform.org. One more story. This is an exclusive from you guys. Is this from you specifically about the Kentucky College event? No, what is this? They actually say Trumpism is terrorism?
Yeah, in essence. So Berea College, which is a small school in rural Kentucky, recently held a gender talk titled, and I quote, "White Citizenship as Terrorism, Make America Great Again." Again. Wow. And that was done through their Women's and Gender Nonconforming Center. And, you know, what any of that has to do with gender, okay, I honestly couldn't tell you. Yeah, right. And in essence, what they did is they equated white people voting for Trump and even just existing in a given area to political violence. All in all, it was some pretty wacky stuff.
Well, I've got to ask you, because I'm not as smart as you, clearly. When you say make America great again, that's something Bill Clinton said in 1992 when he was campaigning. He literally said, we're going to make America great again. And Bill Clinton was widely regarded as the first black president before the first black president, Barack Obama. Ronald Reagan said, we're going to make America great. What is it about that phrase, do you think, triggers people in your general generation? I hate to lump people in, because you're smart, you're young, you know, you're a millennial, or I don't even know if you're after millennials or you're still a millennial, but either way, you're supposed to have a certain level of wokeness when actually you're aware, which is great. So what is it about that phrase specifically, other than professors saying it's somehow racist, that makes it racist? Do you know?
If I had to guess, so Donald Trump, he didn't run himself as like your traditional beltway politician. Right. He had like the tone and the appearance and the mannerisms of like the common man. You know, the way he tweeted, you know, sending out videos of him body slamming CNN or just clowning on political opponents constantly. Right. You know, it was funny. And it was like he tweeted and communicated with people in a way that was like, you know, like a working person would. And the fact that, you know, the media and academia, you know, conflated that with racism really speaks to how they view working people, and why I think the Democratic Party is really starting to lose ground with a lot of people who are, you know, part of that, you know, the great middle of America.
But it wouldn't have worked, Robert, had people not bought it. All Americans had to say, on the left, on the right, in the middle, no matter what, all they had to say was, yeah, that's stupid. That's not racist. It's just, we want to make America great again. Well, when was it great? I don't know. It was great when Reagan, you know, brought a bunch of jobs back after Carter ruined the place. So I'm not really sure why that triggered people other than people allowed themselves to be. Do you think it was a level of, we hate Trump so much, we'll either believe or act like we believe this is racist?
Yeah, I think he threatened a lot of, like, very entrenched institutions. Yeah. You know, military-industrial complex, the media, all these things that, you know, he posed, I think, a legitimate threat to. They had to throw something at him, and that seemed to stick in the media. It seemed to get the clicks. It seemed to maybe dissuade some white suburban voters, which was, you know, pretty damaging. So
right.
It's unfortunate and obviously untrue, but an effective strategy is an effective strategy in politics. And, you know, if you're gonna win, it's something you got to do.
Yeah, it's Robert Schmatt. He is a young reporter, a great correspondent from campusreform.org. Get to that website every day, campusreform.org. Robert, are you on the Twitters?
I am, yeah, at Robert Schmad.
Yeah. And it's RobertSchmad. And thank you so much. And listen, I really appreciate you coming by. Great information as always. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love to be back. Have a good one.
All right, brother, we appreciate you. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. Thanks for making it happen. It is the Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations everywhere. You can also check it out online. If you'd like to see what we look like, or just check out the video portion of it, after we're live, the video stays up, I think, for 30 days. So go to twitch.com/JoePags. Just go to my website, joepags.com. Click on that Twitch banner. It'll take you right to the page. And I appreciate you doing that. Phone calls coming in, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. We will have some pop culture for you in a moment as well. Let me remind you about Stamps.com again. Stamps.com is amazing because it helps you to take care of all that USPS and UPS stuff that you have to take care of as a small business owner, maybe even a medium or large business owner, without having to go down and wait in line and socially distance and a mask or not a mask, a double mask. What do we do with the mask? In the times that we're facing right now, there's never been a better time to get Stamps.com. Stamps.com. It's a fraction of the cost of expensive postage meters, and they could save you up to 40% off of the post office rates, up to 62% off of UPS shipping rates. Get a hold of Stamps.com right now because they're offering an incredible deal because you listen to my program. Go to Stamps.com, use my promo code PAGS, get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in PAGS, P-A-G-S. That's Stamps.com, promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. All right, 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. We've got some calls coming in that are being screened right now. Carrie, the only calls I got on the stories I told last hour about, or earlier in the hour on Grand Funk Railroad,
mm-hmm.
were that they believed me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good.
How do you make up what I just said? I mean, you can't really make that up.
I didn't say you were making it up.
What does that mean? A loyal fan base that would lie about, would lie for me?
No, I just said, one of the things I said was that if you're going to tell me that Michael Bolton wanted you on a softball team, that's where I thought you were going with that story.
I didn't say that.
That would be a lie.
I put a multi-platinum, multi-gold album winning band back together.
You did not, though. No. Mm-mm. No.
Have you ever seen Grand Funk Railroad behind the music?
No. Don't think so.
So you don't make a fool of yourself.
You're not on there.
You might want to watch it.
No. No. No, I don't believe you.
And then a television news anchor in Lansing, Michigan, brought the band back together. Here he is now, Joe Parker.
Yeah, I'll look that up tonight.
Would that be something? That'd be something, wouldn't it?
That would be. Yeah, I would have to apologize.
Come on. You know that I made them think about it a little bit.
No. No.
Why? What makes you think that I had no impact at all?
That is just the feeling that I get. I'm not being rude. I'm your friend. I'm trying to be honest with you. Okay.
Wow.
I hate that button.
Seriously, there were so many sidekicks I could have grabbed. You know what I mean? So many who were like, I'd love to work with you. This would be amazing. Wouldn't it be great? Yeah, I was like, let me take the one that hates me in the building and then have her treat me like crap for 16 straight years.
I don't hate you. I'm, you know, just kidding around because we're friends. We're buds.
Let's not push it. Let's not push it.
Okay, thank you.
At the end of the day, it happened. I urged them to get back together. 6 months later, they got back together. Did I play a role?
No.
Probably a small one, just a tiny one.
No, not at all.
I mean, let's say there's 100% that they got back together, which they did. Can I get one? Maybe 1%. That over pasta at that restaurant, I urged them to reassess.
And it's the first time this guy met you, so he's going to say, hey, you know what? Joe Parker may be right. I think I'll call Mel. And Mark.
I think I met Don before then, but that was the first time that we like socialized. Mm-hmm. I think I met him.
Yeah. No. There's 0% chance. Zero.
I'm going to give myself one. I'm going to give myself 1%. I think that I'm underselling it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, you believe that. It makes you feel better.
Wow. With the button.
It makes you sleep at night.
If it makes me sleep at night. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Let's do some pop culture. Rip! Dirty pop. Paula, what's going on, dude? Talk to me.
All right, so you know how, I guess, for the past few years, really, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has, I guess, hinted that he would consider running for president.
Right, I do remember that.
All right, so there's, I guess, an online poll saying that, I guess, 46% of adult Americans would vote for him if he ran for president in 2024.
What happened if you ran for president in 2024?
That they would vote for him.
And what do they say?
Or 46% would, so they're just saying that would be enough to win the presidency right there.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. He's an actor, so you know, it's gotta be something. We got to get out of here. That's Polo, that's Kerry, that's Sam. I'm Joe. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a great one. Thanks for checking us out.
This is the Joe Pags Show.